The last, oh gosh, I don't know, it's been maybe 6 weeks, 5 weeks, we've been talking about dedicating ourselves to prayer. We've been talking about moving in a direction that seeks God in a deeper way, that seeks God in a more full way, that seeks God in a way that's maybe in a richer, more saturated way than we normally do. And we've talked specifically the last few weeks about the story of Samuel, the calling of Samuel, seeing God's hand on his life, seeing God's hand move and through the words and through the placement and the positioning of his life, how God starts to use him, how God starts to move in his life, and how he learns not just to hear God, but how to recognize God. You know, and we've read that story. I don't know that we need to read through it all again this morning. But Samuel, he hears God's voice so clearly, and it's so present, that it wakes him up out of his sleep. And it calls to him, and he goes, and he sees Eli. And time, three times, he hears God's voice. And then eventually, he recognizes, and we understood that he didn't know yet how to recognize it. Did anybody do the trick of being able to recognize sounds, being able to see when you're standing in the midst of a crowded place, how you can differentiate between all the different sounds, how you can hear clearly one thing over another? It's neat the way our ears work. But as he becomes to recognize, recognition comes with the more familiar he is with it. So he finally recognizes it, finally recognizes God's voice. And Eli tells him, go back and say, speak, because your servant is listening. And I read you a scripture from John 10, where Jesus is talking about the good shepherd. And he says, the sheep recognize my voice. A lot of translations will also say that the sheep are listening to my voice. But you see, listening is very different than just hearing or just recognizing. I notice that in the story of Samuel that he sets this part aside, that God sets this as a different moment. After the three times of hearing and recognition finally dawns, then this is something different. He says, go back this time and say, speak. Your servant is listening. This time is different than the other times. It's marked by a different action, not just hearing, but recognition now begins to dawn on Samuel and on Eli. And so it's with a newfound focus on the speaker and what he's saying. See, Samuel positions himself just as before, but now in a place of readiness. He anticipates God speaking. He anticipates the moment. He waits patiently for it. It doesn't say how long it is between these different callings. We know it's all in one night, but we don't know the time. But now he's anticipating it, waiting for it, in a ready posture, waiting to hear what's going to be said and communicate to the speaker that he is indeed ready to hear, ready to listen. There's a favorite show of mine that's on not on TV anymore, it's long since gone off the air, but it was a show called Frasier. I don't know if any of you have ever seen this. Frasier's it's a good humor. I enjoyed getting to look through some of those to try to find a clip. I never could find a clip of just what I wanted. But his call line, Frasier is a radio talk show host, and he's a radio psychiatrist. And his tagline is always, go ahead, caller, I'm listening. I'm listening is his tagline. And as I was thinking about this, I kept coming up with this, you know, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And I was thinking about that I'm listening idea and realized that when you say that, you really are positioning yourself in sort of a different place, right? You're not just saying, you know, go ahead and start talking. I'm not really there. You're really putting yourself in a different place to say, I'm really paying attention. I'm noticing what you're going to say. I'm listening with some kind of interest in it. And so I wanted to read you, because we toss around these different, I mean, even the different Bible interpretations have different ways that they say these and interchange the words recognize, hear, and listen. But I wanted you to listen to the word, to the definition of the word listen. It says to pay attention to someone. or something in order to hear what's being said. To hear what someone said and understand that it's serious, important, or true. To hear something with thoughtful attention, to give it consideration. Listening means to pay attention, to be aware, to notice. I think it would be easier if we read 1 Samuel 3:9, where it says, "Speak, your servant is listening." I think it should read something a little more like "speak, because your servant's now paying attention." Before he heard the words, he wasn't really paying attention to what was being said, not looking for anything further. He was going to some other place to look for what's the next step. But now he says, "Speak. Your servant is paying attention." Notices. To be aware. To be active and alert. You know, we all hear all day long, but we don't always listen to what's being said. I was thinking about listening this week and was thinking about one of the reasons that we have such a hard time. I know I personally a lot of times have a hard time listening. I hear a lot of things, but have a hard time focusing on that. And I realize that, you know, we're in a generation, and I think all of us are probably part of that now, of interaction, of doing, of everything is something that's, you're getting this communication back and forth. Long gone are the days where people would sit in front of the radio and just listen to the broadcast or sit around the fire and just listen to someone tell stories. Those days are really gone. Now it's an interactive type of culture. It's a culture where we expect to hear something right back, where communication is right there and immediate. And we've lost that ability of listening, and I think we've some ways relegated, I know I've done this in my own life, relegated listening a lot of times to a passive activity, to just a sitting down and passively sort of just sitting there twiddling my thumbs saying, okay, what is going to be said? But listening is not a spectator sport. Listening is not just sitting back and saying, okay, what's going to happen? Listening is active. It takes active participation. It's the reason I think that we do have such a hard time about it, is that we don't see it a lot of times as active. It requires us to be focused, to have a focused attention. It should be doing. It should be moving and active in our lives. Listening is not a spectator sport. It's something that should challenge us. It's something that should take a lot of effort, should require our full attention. You know, at least 15 times that I could find in the New Testament alone, we see these words spoken by Jesus. And we see them in Revelation as well. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Jesus says it at least 7 times in the different synoptic gospels. We see that. And this obviously, you know, when something is said over and over and over again like that, we know it's something important. We know it's something that we need to catch. We need to understand what that means. But what does Jesus really mean by that? What does the Bible say when he says, "He who has ears, let him hear"? Yeah, I don't think it was the problem of the day that there's a lot of people wandering around without ears. Maybe, but probably not. I don't think this is a literal thing that Jesus is saying. He's saying, you people that actually do have ears, listen. Now see, this is something more than just physical listening. This is something beyond that. This is recognizing something beyond recognizing the sound of something, someone speaking. What Jesus is talking about here is the idea of understanding. The idea of truly hearing, really listening to what's being said, and grasping the meaning, really considering it. He who has ears, let him hear, really means that if you're ready to listen, pay attention. In fact, the word hear, in the original Greek, the word hear means I hear or I listen. But in this context, it means I comprehend by my hearing. I hear and I understand. And the word ears, this was an interesting one to me. He who has ears, the word ears means the faculty or the ability of understanding and knowing. So if we put that together, what Jesus is really saying, what John is saying in the book of Revelation, is he who has the faculty, the ability to understand and know, then hear these words and understand them. If you have the ability to hear these things and understand them, then do it. Take them on. Apply them to your life. Understand them. See what they really mean, what they're really telling you, what's really being said. This is what listening really means. When he says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," it's not just speak, now I hear you really. It's speak. Because I want to understand the words that are being spoken. I want to hear clearly. I want to apply them and put them to practice in my life. It's much more than just passively sitting and waiting. It's anticipating. It's really hearing, really being ready to focus on the words that are being spoken. And so I wanted to ask this morning, what are some thoughts that you have about how we can be better listeners? I think we all have lives that interact differently with what we do on a daily basis, where we are when we have our prayer time, what's around us, where we feel like God speaks to us the most sometimes. How can we do a better job at listening, at thinking of it as an active participation rather than a passive spectator? I know for me personally, that as I was thinking through this, I realized that a lot of times when I'm thinking about listening, when I really do set aside some time, and I do this in my quiet time, to set aside time to say, this is just me being quiet time, I often, much to my shame, am multitasking something else. I don't really even realize I'm doing it a lot of times, but I'm thinking about something else. Working. I'm not necessarily saying I'm sitting on my phone texting or doing emails or anything, but I am working something else out in my own mind. And I realize for myself that multitasking is a real danger for me, that I need to make sure that when I'm focused on listening to God, of putting away the distractions, of putting away what I'm thinking, what I have to do right after this quiet time, and say, it's this moment, and this moment is important, and focused on that moment in time. What about y'all? What are some other ways that you can think of that we can be better listeners, that we can be more actively participating in hearing? You know, you talk about the white noise idea. We have this sound machine that we use for our kids, and we use it for exactly that purpose, to drown out all of the other noise of the house so that we can actually have a life once our kids go to bed. Yeah, it's hard for me to sleep. But in fact, when Amy and the kids go out of town, I turn on the sound machine just so I can have that, because it's so used to that in the background. That was just too much information, wasn't it? Yeah, I stepped past the line of comfort. But I know what you mean. The noise, we use that white noise and it drowns out all the other noises. It can be distracting, but we don't even recognize it sometimes. It becomes such a background thing that you don't even hear it. That's why we talked about that, paying attention to the distractions of the enemy, because we get so used to them sometimes, don't even realize what's really going on there. It's such a subtle, sneaky thing, and we have to be careful about it. What else? You've been reading my sermon notes, haven't you? This is the day. That's good. Wow, these are good. I had to use some of these. Okay. Yeah. Taking notes, and because you know you're going to get called and you really pay attention and you listen. What else? The key to it is paying attention. I agree with that. Is paying attention. Because you might hear it and not give it enough credence, not really put it into play. It's hearing it, paying attention to it, and then having a responsibility with that information. Anybody else? It is a good one. I'm more laughing because I'm not going to need to really preach much of the rest of the sermon, which is sort of about all of these things that we're talking about. It's great. Yeah, that you're making it a priority, making listening and paying attention a priority. You're right, because among all the other distractions, to be able to hear past those things and to focus on that. Yeah, it's so good. It's so hard to do. Yeah, we are probably the most distracted generation that there's ever been. I mean, we are constantly just inundated with things. And to be able to keep that attention, that focus, I think it is a lost art. Listening is a lost art. And it is so important. I remember in college we had to do these listening assignments and for music where we would have to sit down and listen to a piece of a symphony or something like that and then write about what we heard in that. And I remember having to sit there and just listen and thinking, what can I do while I'm supposed to be listening to this so that I can get multitask all of these things to get done here? But you can't. You can't listen well and do something else at the same time. It sort of just filters in the back of your mind, and that's, I guess, okay. But it's really not accomplishing the task. You see, true listening comes with accountability. True listening requires something of the hearer. You guys said the teacher analogy, and I have that. I literally have that in my notes. It says teacher analogy. But I had thought the same thing, is that, you know, a teacher will stand up and give a lecture, will give a talk, and oftentimes at the end of that talk, especially if you're in an advanced class in college or in high school or something, the teacher is then going to expect you to be able to respond or to have formed an opinion and to be able to share that and communicate that with others. That you and you listen, you can't just let it wash over you. You need to be paying attention to it, be letting it seep down into yourself so that you can have a response, so that you can speak it to others, so that you can communicate it back, because it shows that you're paying attention. You listen with a more focused, more ready stance, because if you don't, you're not going to be ready to respond the way we need to. True listening comes with accountability and requires something of the hearer. We see this in the final part of our Samuel story. And I'm going to close out that Samuel story today. God speaks that fourth time to Samuel. The fourth time Samuel responds as he was directed, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." But the story doesn't end there, does it? It's a great story about recognizing, hearing, listening, and responding, but the story doesn't end there. In fact, if you think about it, all of that, all the listening, the recognizing, the responding is all just a prelude to what God was actually doing, speaking through Samuel to Eli. If you want to read with me, if you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, I want you to read this with me, or I'll read it to you. So Samuel at the end of verse 10 says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And then here's how the story ends. "The Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hear it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. I told him I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible and he failed to restrain them. And I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrificing or offering.' Samuel went back and lay down until morning. And then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli that vision. But Eli called him and said, 'Samuel, my son.' And Samuel again answers, 'Here I am.' 'What was it that the Lord said to you? Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you severely if you hide anything from me that he told you.' So Samuel, who you remember is a young boy, tells him everything and hid nothing from him. And Eli's response is, 'He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes.'" See, all of this listening and being ready and positioning and hearing and recognizing, all of that is a prelude to God speaking, to God doing something through Samuel, and Samuel having to respond. So often we think of the speaking, that the words from God are things, you know, we hold on to and they're the end unto themselves, when in reality they're often the catalyst for something that God is wanting us to do. Maybe those words are for us. Maybe they're meant to transform our hearts. Maybe they're meant to spur us into action or drive us into a lifestyle change. Maybe they're for someone else, as in our story here. Maybe they're for an action that he's wanting to lead us into, a new path, a new direction. Whatever it is, God's word spoken to us is often a catalyst for us into action. We see here in the story that the true progression of events through Samuel's calling is hearing, recognizing, listening, and then obeying, following. Jesus says in John 10:27, that same chapter about the Good Shepherd, he says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." My sheep listen to my voice, but it doesn't end there. They don't just listen and hear. He says, "I know them. I know what they can do, what they're capable of. I know what I created them for. They listen, and then they follow me." You see, the listening is the catalyst for the action. It's not just the listening so you hear. It's so we can be led. We listen so we can be led, so that we can follow. He who has ears, let him hear. If you're ready to listen, then pay attention. Because listening comes with an obligation. You've got to focus on the speaker to hear what's being said. And once you do, you're left with a decision. You have to make a decision, because we're accountable for the words that we've heard. They're not just words to record in a book and study later, though you should do that. They're not just words to hear and let fall to the ground. The Word of God is living and it's active among us. It's in us and in our lives. These are words we've got to come to terms with. Do we believe them or not? Will we choose or won't we choose to follow them? Do you really hear and understand what's being said? Will you treasure them in your heart? Will you ponder them day and night? Will they be with you when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed and lie down in the evening? Will you let them shape your life? He who has ears, let him hear. People who don't have ears, they're not ready to listen. They're perfectly content to wander through life without ever really having any strong opinions about anything, being on one side or the other. These are the people that say, "I'm not really sure what I believe. I don't really know why I believe all of these things. I'm not really sure where I stand on these issues." These are people that don't have ears to listen, who haven't let it form in their hearts and minds. But I want you to stand firm on the side of God. I want you to know, in no uncertain terms, in whom you have believed. I want you to be able to tell others why you have hope, why you believe what you believe, why you're going down this path in your life. What's the reason that you have breath every day? Who puts the breath in the lungs and the wind at your backs? Whose voice is still known by the wind and the waves? If you have ears, then hear. Recognize. Recognize the Lord's voice when you hear it. It may not be when you expect. It may not look like what you think it should look like. It may not be at a time that's convenient. It will often be at the time when you feel like it is the least appropriate in your life. Listen to what he's telling you to do. Then process it and make a decision. To follow or not to follow. To obey or not to obey. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. Once God has said, "This is where I'm working. This is what I'm doing," then we have to respond. It may be a simple heart attitude change. It may be expanding our understanding of who he is to us, or who he is to somebody else. It may be challenging us to do something we never thought possible, or just increasing something that we're already doing. It may be stopping something we think is invaluable. It may be breaking old habits, destructive habits, but make no mistake, God is looking for a response. We are accountable to the words that are spoken over us and to us. Matthew 7:24. Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house, but it didn't fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man that builds his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it crashed and fell. And great was its fall." Everyone who hears these words of mine doesn't just say hear them. Everyone who hears them and then acts on them, then follows them, is obedient to what's being spoken. What does this mean to you today? What does that analogy mean to you today? Building his house on the rock. What does it mean that if we put God's word into action, what he's spoken into action in our life, that it's like we've built our house on the rock? What does that mean? What does it mean to you? What is Jesus really saying here? What is that story telling us? I had planned on having us discuss that, but I think I'd rather us just think about that on our own. Just let that sit in your heart this week. What does that mean? Everyone who hears, I know we know that analogy of the built the house on the rock versus built the house on the sand. We know that story, but I think a lot of times, I know I'm like this too, I forget that that's coupled with the precursor to it. I always think, well, if I built my house on Jesus, if I have him as my foundation, that's building the rock. But that's not exactly what this says. It says, he who hears the words of mine, not just as a hearer, but acts on them, puts them into his life, lets them be living and active as part of his life, lets them move, lets them drive him. It's like a man that built his house on the rock. And the winds come and the waves beat on the house. And they come up and they slam against the walls, but it is unshakable. It's a foundation that can't be broken or torn down because we have not just heard the words, we have applied them, put them into practice. God is looking for a response. And it had better not be, "Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't really paying attention. I was on this phone call. Was kind of spaced out, you know, I was busy with a lot of things, distracted, just too tired to focus really. I was playing on my phone, I was watching a show, fill in the blanks, what is it that occupies your mind so much that a lot of times we don't hear, we don't have ears. Our response had better be, speak, because your servant is listening. Your servant is paying attention. I'm focused. God, I'm ready. What do you want me to do?" That's our response. He's going to use you in some unforgettable things. If you do this, if you respond in this way, he is going to use you in places and ways you have never even imagined. And it's going to require amazing risks, otherwise known as faith. He's going to call you way outside your comfort zone, way beyond your natural levels of what you feel like you can do. You remember Gideon? You remember the story of Gideon in Judges? I want to read that just real quickly to you. If you would look in Judges chapter 6, I want you to hear. Always good if I know where I'm headed. I want you to hear the calling of Gideon. This is Judges chapter 6. In verse 12, it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon And he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is really with us, why is all this stuff happening to me, to us? Where are all the wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us. He put us into the hands of Midian, and the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?' But Lord," Gideon says, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you." He's going to call you when you feel like you are the least. He is going to call you when you feel like you're the weakest. He's going to call you when you feel like you've got nothing to offer. When you feel like the word of the Lord is rare. When you feel like you have, like he's abandoned in some ways. You feel like you're out there just struggling, and he's going to call you. And he's going to call you to go beyond yourself, so far beyond yourself that you don't even know what you're going to do about it. He'll do that. And then he'll provide you with every tool that you need. We're going to talk more about need versus want next week. And he's going to go with you. He knows what you can do. He knows what he can do. We need to get on board and see what he can do. Let him show you what he can do. Don't trust what your eyes see. Don't trust what your heart always feels. Trust what God said. Trust his word. Trust it completely, fully, pay attention to it, and then act on it. Through this all, through all of this, he's going to show you who you were truly created to be. He's going to show you who you really are. So much more than you think. Remember, God knows you. Remember that, Chad, that verse I keep reading, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them." He knows you. "And they follow me. I know them," he says. God's word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides, it slices, it cuts to the heart. It separates, and we need to know it in our hearts to recognize his voice, to resist the temptation and the distractions of the enemy, to learn patience, but never complacency, to learn to wait, but not to be idle, to stay active, to stay on our guard, to stay sharp and keep focus, to listen. Because God is speaking to you right now in your heart. Get yourself in a place of good reception with God. And then respond. Won't you do it today? Won't you respond today? Maybe you need to finally say yes to that thing that you've been saying, "God, I don't know if I'm ready. God, I don't think I can." Will you finally say yes to the thing that God's been telling you you need to do? And you've been saying, "I just can't. I can't. I don't even know how." Will you respond today to that thing he's been calling you out, to that place of the unknown? You're not sure how you're going to make it. Remember Gideon. Take the plunge. Go forward. Step out. Step off the cliff. And say, "I don't know what's going to happen, but God, you're there. You're there. Save me. Work with me." He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. Would you guys come back up and join us? So I would just invite you today to say yes to the things that God is calling you to. Search your heart. Search your soul. Search. Let him speak to you this morning. Let him speak truth into your heart. Let him speak his words into your life. And then let them be living and active. Don't let them just fall. Let them penetrate. Let them separate bone from marrow. Let them work in our lives. You know, maybe he's just calling you to accept him on a deeper level this morning. Maybe you've been saying, you know, you've been hearing something, it doesn't sound a lot like you. And so maybe it's just taking a risk this morning, saying yes. Maybe you've been a believer for years, but you've been sitting on the fence on something. God has said, I want you to go this way, and you say, God, I don't know. I don't know where I can be, which side I'm going to fall on this. I think God's finally calling you to step out, to take that step over. Won't you say yes today to whatever he's calling you to do and just accept his will for your life? See what he has in store for you. I promise you will never, ever regret it.